And God's word is devil destruction power. With my Bible, I can defeat the devil every single day. This is my Bible. My Bible is the word of God. And God's word is the revelation of his will for my life. Whatever it says I am, that's what I am. Whatever it says I can do, I can do it. Whatever it says I have, I claim it in Jesus' name. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity we have to hear your word, to teach your word, and to preach your word. Now, Lord, help us to be doers of your word in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Glory to God. You may take your seats. Last week I just came back from a training class in South Carolina on how to train using PowerPoint and stuff like that. And there was a lot of suggestions made, not putting too much text up there, having more pictures than text so that y'all can get a visual and all that other stuff. And I probably won't follow a lot of that, those suggestions. So, but just letting y'all know that I've been trained, praise God. And I'm supposed to look at y'all in the eye and all that stuff, y'all, all the kind of stuff that y'all, I don't always do like I should. So I'm gonna try to look at y'all in the eye, but don't y'all stare at me, okay? Then I'll go, woo! But anyway, we're gonna continue in our teaching on, does God engage in destructive behavior? We've been dealing with this for probably, more than a month now. And we got so much material to cover on this. And the reason why we have to continue to cover this is because there's so much teaching out there that goes against this truth that God is a good God. So many people believe that God is destructive. They will say he's loving and kind, but there's always so much contradictory ideas about God. He's loving, he's kind, and yet he puts you in very bad and difficult situations. You get into a car accident. Well, God had a reason behind that. You get sick, you get cancer. Well, God took that person home because he's a loving and kind God. So God gives you cancer and gives you all kinds of diseases because he's loving and kind. People will put things on God and make that out to be loving and kind that they would never put on you or me, praise God. If I was to shoot you in the head with a gun, you would not consider that to be loving and kind. You would not. But yet people will, if I do shoot you in the head, then some person, some wonderful, well-meaning preacher will say, well, God took that person home because he had a plan for their life. Well, I was the one who shot you, but yet you'll put me in jail and call me evil. But I was the instrument of God, amen, according to your theology. So people have made God out to be controlling, vindictive, destructive, and yet and from the same mouth, they claim that he's kind, he's merciful, and gentle. You cannot be both, praise God. You have to either be one or the other. Now, that's not to say that God is a wimp. Amen. We showed you a couple of weeks ago that God, he is a tough God. He kicked the devil's booty on our behalf. Amen.
Amen.
But God is not destructive towards his children. Now, that doesn't mean God spoils his children. It simply means that God is not destructive. When God chastens you, he doesn't chasten you by putting sickness and disease on you, by causing car accidents and all those kind of things to hurt you. God chastens us by rebuking us, by giving us his word, praise God. And I tell you, and we're going to talk about chastening probably somewhere down the road, how God actually chastens his children. But I tell you, when God rebukes me, that's enough for me. I'm already hurting and wanting to cry then. Hallelujah. I don't need a car accident. All I need to hear is hear God rebuke me a couple of times, and that's done. I'm ready to change. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, but we started off talking about seven principles that you need to learn and understand in order to get a better grasp on how to interpret the Bible, praise God. Especially in this area in which you find scriptures that seem like or appear to say that God did certain things. And if you don't understand those principles, then you will get confused, because you'll find one thing in the Bible that says that God does this, and then you'll go to another part in the Bible that says that he absolutely does not do certain things. For example, you'll find in the Bible where God moved David to sin. And then you jump to another part of the Bible that says that Satan moved David to sin. And then you'll jump to another part of the Bible that says that God never tempts anybody to sin. And you'll start scratching your head and saying, oh my goodness, well, which one is it? If you don't understand biblical principles of interpretation, then the Bible will confuse you. It will not be a joy to read. It will be a burden to read. And most of the time, you'll only read it because pastor will jump on your case on Sunday telling you, why aren't you reading your Bible? Praise God. So if I'm going to read something, I need to enjoy reading it. I don't care if it's the Bible or whatever it is. I need to enjoy it. Praise God. I don't like wasting my time doing anything. I like to do things that get results. And if I can't enjoy my reading of the Bible, I probably won't read it. I pretend like I'm reading it. I don't read it just because I'm a pastor. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. I read it because I need to get nourishment from this thing for Troy Edwards. Glory to God. That's why I had to try to understand exactly what this Bible is saying to me, especially in areas where it seemed confusing. And because God taught me, and a lot of the things I'm teaching you, it took me 30 years of study to get some of these things. Praise Jesus. Mm-hmm. And what I'm trying to give to you 30 years of study in just a couple of weeks. But I had to learn to enjoy reading my Bible. So when you get those seven principles down, then you begin to understand it. The other thing we learned, we dealt more in depth on the fact that Jesus, except for when he destroyed Satan, he is not a destroyer as far as mankind is concerned. Praise God.
Amen.
He specifically said in Luke chapter 9 that I did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And the Bible says that the Father did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Praise God.
Amen.
So God the Father is just like God the Son. The Holy Spirit is just like God the Son. The three members of the triune Godhead are just like one another. So the Father is no different from Jesus. And Jesus did not come down here to try to save you from the Father. Praise God. Mm-hmm. He didn't come down here to say, oh, Father, please don't hurt them. I'll do what I can to save them. Take all your wrath out on me. No, Jesus didn't come to do that. The Father and the Son loved you, praise God. And they made a pact together and decided that they would come. The Father would have been just as willing to die for you just as much as Jesus was, praise God. I tell you right now, it would be more difficult for me to send Terry to die for you than to send myself. Amen. That's an ultimate sacrifice right there. If Judah came in right now and told me, I'll tell you what, I'll let everybody live, but you got a choice. You or your daughter. One of you two got to die. It's automatically going to be me. I wouldn't even hesitate. You know, y'all, I love y'all. See y'all when y'all get to heaven. All right, go ahead. but if the man came in and said, I'm going to kill everybody unless you give me your daughter. That'd be hard.
Man, start thinking twice.
There'll be a whole lot of hesitation there. Mm-hmm. I'd be begging, man, please, not my daughter, please take me. I'm not old. I'm older, I've lived my life, man, come on, man. Well, in the meantime, trying to find a way to get the gun from him. Actually, what I would do is tell them, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. But I'm just saying, in a scenario in which I would have to choose between sacrificing myself or my daughter, it would be easier for me to choose me. Praise God.
Amen.
So you got to see the Father, the sacrifice he made to save you. Praise God. Amen. I mean, here you're talking about the King of all the universe, who has omnipotent power, who could just speak and you become dust. And he sat there and watched while they did all that they did to his Son. And he stood there and watched and did nothing because he really wanted your salvation. Mm. Man, that's a good father, I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, you got to learn to appreciate the Father as well as the Son and as well as the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Yeah. Like I always say, the Holy Spirit, he's been putting up with your behind for centuries. Putting up with both you and me. Glory to God. Yeah. I mean, he's there when you're doing your work, when you're doing your worst sinning. You're putting him out of your mind, and he's still sitting there looking at you while you're doing it. While you're on the internet surfing, that looking at that stuff you ain't supposed to be looking at. Praise God. Mm-hmm. He's sitting there looking at it. The angels are watching it. I tell you, it makes you think twice about it, don't you? Mm-hmm. But one thing about sin is easy. I say it from experience. It's easy to put God out of your mind when you want to sin. Mm-hmm. Amen. but the thing is that we tried to build a foundation to help you understand that God is not out to get you. Praise God.
Amen.
He loves you. He cares about you. He's deeply in love with you and wants nothing but your well-being. Praise God.
Amen.
And so last week we began to put more emphasis on the fact that Satan is the actual destroyer. We saw in the Bible that Satan is the one who steals, kills, and destroys. Praise God. Mm-hmm. And we contrasted that with Jesus. Jesus contrasts himself with Satan. He says, Satan is the one who killed the thief, which is Satan, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He says, I'm the one who comes that you might have life and life more abundantly. Praise God. Mm-hmm. I don't know why we reverse the two. We seem to think that God comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and that Satan comes to give you money. You know, Pastor Mary was talking about the lottery today, how some people change when they get money, and it's true. I mean, just when, you know, that big lottery thing came up, you know, I decided to look on the internet about lottery winners. And, man, you will find that the majority of people that won the lottery, their lives got worse after they got it, mm-hmm. after they got all that money. One guy, listen to this. You'll be interested in this story. One guy who was already, he was a Christian. He was already a millionaire. Had built his company up from the ground up. He won, what was it, several million dollars. And it totally messed his life up. You see, you would think that somebody who's already a millionaire would know how to manage their money. And he did. He knew how to manage money. But when you get money that you didn't earn, mm-hmm. it messes you up. It changes you. I mean, this guy, he went from being a Christian to hanging out in strip clubs, and ended up, him and his wife got divorced. His granddaughter ended up getting killed because he started just spoiling her, giving her $5,000 a week or whatever for allowance, and she just wasting it on crack cocaine and stuff like that. Hmm. I mean, it destroyed his business in the long run. I mean, it just messed the guy all up. See, if you don't know God, and if you're not committed to God, then Satan will use anything to destroy your life. Praise God. Mm-hmm. I mean, yesterday, the news, I tell you, I hate turning on the news. That's why sometimes Pastor Steve has to call me to tell me what the latest news is, because I hate every time you turn on the news, it ain't nothing but reports of what Satan's doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, and this guy who won $300,000 in the lottery, and they said that he was using it to buy gifts for people who were without. And three guys in masks break in his house and kill him.
Oh.
I tell you, everybody wants to win the lottery. But, you know, the part of the problem is they put your name out there most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, and everybody knows you won. And then all your cousins from Timbuktu and from Arizona and Beverly Hills, California, they all want a piece of you now. Mm-hmm. I'm your cousin Joe. You don't remember me? Yeah, I don't. Goodbye. but see, Satan looks for any inroad by which to destroy you. See, when God blesses you, he protects you, and the blessing, the Bible says that when God blesses you, it makes it rich and it adds no sorrow to it. Praise God.
Amen.
See, when the world, which Satan runs, when they give you the so-called unquote, quote unquote blessing, is meant to destroy your life. Praise God. Amen. So, pastor's recommendation, do not play the lottery. Amen. Now, you know, me and my wife, we put some thing in this clearinghouse sweepstakes. You know, it ain't cost us no money. We just cost us put little sticker stamps on there. That $5,000 a week thing. But believe me, if I ever won, I'm gonna pray real hard. Make sure that my character is straightened out. Praise God. Because I sure don't. It ain't worth going to hell for a few dollars. Praise God.
Amen.
It is not worth going to hell for $5 billion. It ain't worth going to hell for $3 trillion. It ain't. I would rather be poor and make it to be in heaven be with Jesus. That's why Jesus said, and I'm getting totally off track of my message, but maybe somebody needs to hear this. That's why Jesus said, it is easier for a camel to enter through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to make it into heaven. He never said that a rich man can't make it into heaven, praise God. Because mm-hmm. the Bible says that Abraham was exceedingly rich, Amen. Yet Abraham is in heaven. David was rich. Solomon was rich. God is not against riches. What God is against is riches having you, praise God.
Amen.
And that's what happens to the majority of people. And just like Pastor Mary pointed out, a lot of people come from different countries. And it ain't just Africa. That people come from, we've seen people come from Asia, from people that were committed to Christ when they got here. They loved the Lord, and they wouldn't take it back. As soon as they got a job, as soon as they got a car, we didn't see them no more. Mm-hmm. Then they started having affairs with people outside of their marital covenant. I mean, we've seen these things happen. Money seems to mess people up for some reason. If you let money control you, Satan uses that as an inroad to destroy your life. Glory to God.
Amen.
So you can believe God for money. Now, if you wonder know why God doesn't always bless everybody right away, it's because he's trying to develop our character. Glory to God.
Amen.
I tell you, God needs people. He needs millionaires in the body of Christ.
Amen.
I want to be one of them. But I'm sure the reason why I'm not one of them yet is because I still need character development. How about you?
Yeah.
Amen. But you know what? I'm working on my character development. I don't know about you. I want to become one of God's millionaires. You know, because I want to be able to write just, man, you got a project where? In India? Brother, just sit down. Here. I'm telling you, that's what I want to be able to do, glory to God.
Amen.
It ain't for me. It ain't for me to get a big house and a nice fancy car. Oh yeah, I want a nice fancy car. I'm not going to get it, but it's not about that for me, praise God.
Amen.
The thing I want to do is to be able to support the body of Christ with some money. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. But let's look at Revelation chapter 20. Today I want to talk to you a little bit. I'm going to try not to keep it too long. You know, that's a famous promise of every preacher. We always say with that, then we keep you for a couple hours. But I'm going to try to not to keep you too long today, because I know it's snow. A lot of y'all sacrificed and trekked through the snow to get here, and I really appreciate y'all. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. As I was outside shoveling the snow this morning, I was debating whether we should even have service or not. And one of the things I thought was, I can't cancel service with just this much snow. Praise God.
Amen.
And so it doesn't matter how many people show up. We're just going to have service, and we're going to praise God, and we're going to get into God's word.
Amen.
Amen. Besides that, there's people online who watch, who listen to our teachings and stuff like that, so we want to bless them as well. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. But I want to talk to you this morning about the millennial reign of Christ, because it'll help you to understand more why God is not the one causing all the problems on the earth. Praise God. It'll help you to understand that Satan is the main reason why things are so messed up in this world. See, everybody's looking, at least here in America, everybody's looking for a president who will save our country. And I am just very disappointed in a lot of Christian leaders, praise God. See, let me explain to you. I'm a Ben Carson supporter, and I really don't want to get too much into politics here. But I supported Ben Carson because I know not that he can save this country, praise God. No one man can. But I know that Ben Carson loves Jesus, praise God. And I know that if he got into the White House, he would actually go to Jesus and ask him for his wisdom and his advice. Hallelujah. That's what I want in the office. But a lot of Christian leaders are supporting a certain billionaire simply because of his retort, because he's able to talk and win crowds, and he's up in the polls, and he's supporting his own campaign. And yet, this man doesn't even know the Bible. He hardly knows anything about the Bible. He hardly knows how to pray. And people are sitting there, and I heard one Christian leader talk about, well, we want so-and-so. We don't necessarily want the Christian in there because we don't need a pastor-in-chief in the White House. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. We don't need a pastor-in-chief in the White House. You need a Christian in the White House, praise God.
Amen.
The reason why this country's in a mess is because we got too many people going into that White House who don't really know Jesus. They don't pray and seek the Lord for his will for this nation, praise God. And then they come out with all kinds of stupid policies, laws, and executive orders that's doing nothing but bringing this country down under. And this country, the rest of the world follows this country. This country used to be the greatest nation in the world. And this nation is starting to fall back. I mean, our enemies are laughing at us. And now we're giving billions of dollars in order to rescue hostages. There was a time when you took our hostages, we could say, hey, let them go or else. And they let them go, praise God. Mm-hmm. But now, we got to give a couple of billion dollars in order to get our hostages free. And then give them, so they can spend it on nuclear armaments to destroy us later. What ridiculous cycle we're going through. And so people are looking for a savior to go into the White House. No, you don't need a savior in the White House. There's already a savior, praise God. What you need is somebody who will connect to the savior, somebody to get into the White House that will connect to the savior so that our country can get better, praise Jesus.
Amen.
But the majority of problems that is in this world has nothing to do with God. The problems that we are having in the United States have nothing to do with God. Satan is the one running things right now. Praise Jesus.
Amen.
Matter of fact, turn with me real quickly. I don't have it up here, and I wasn't planning on showing it to you. I showed you the scripture before. But sometimes it needs to be reinforced. Because I still hear it every time I turn around. God is in control. He's the one controlling things. His plans cannot be thwarted. Whatever's going on in the world, God has a plan. No. A lot of this stuff, God has a plan. And God's plan will come to pass, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
His ultimate plan will come to pass. But what's going on in the world right now, it's not part of God's plan. This mess wasn't ever part of God's plan. God didn't plan accidents. He didn't plan terrorist attacks. He didn't plan abortion. God never planned any of that foolishness. Well, 1 John chapter 5. Just looking at let's look at verses 18 and 19. Does anybody have a translation other than the King James? I'm going to read the King James, and then Pastor Steve, you read to me your translation. At least, not necessarily verse 18, but just read verse 19 out of your translation after I'm finished. All right, this is the King James Version. It says, "We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not." Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's called divine protection right there. "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness." Now, Pastor Steve, read verse 19 of your translation.
Pastor John, right?
Yeah, 1 John chapter 5, verse 19.
We know we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one.
All right. What translation is that?
That's the
easy to read translation. I love that one. Easy to read version. So the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Praise God. So where's the whole world lying in the power of?
The evil one.
Amen. That, another translation, I think it's the NIV or one of them, it says that the whole world is under the control of the wicked one. Praise God. So, where is the who is the problem in this world?
Satan.
God's not the one controlling this mess. God will control your life and control the circumstances in your life if you pray and let Him do it. Praise God.
Amen.
But as far as the negative things that's surrounding you, as far as the junk that's going on the job, that's none of that has to do with God. The whole world lies in the power of the evil one, or is under the control of the wicked one. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. So, and Revelation chapter 20 really strongly emphasizes that point. And I don't know if we talked about it. It seemed like we had talked about it before, but maybe we just need to re-emphasize some things, because sometimes people forget certain things. Praise God. So, Revelation chapter 20. Let's look at it very quickly. Revelation is the last book in your Bible. And don't believe these people that tell you that Revelation is a scary book. It's not a scary book for the Christian, praise God.
Amen.
For the Christian, the Bible says, Jesus said that if you read it, you'll get blessed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The sinners get scared of it because they want to rebel against Jesus, and they read it and they find out what's going to happen when they start keep rebelling against Him. Revelation chapter 20, it says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed for a little season." Praise God.
Amen.
And then verse 6 goes on to say, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they should be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years, praise God.
Amen.
So, during this time, the 1,000-year millennial reign of Jesus Christ, there will be no sickness. There will be no disease. There will be no car accidents. There will be no war. Matter of fact, the Bible says that we will beat our swords into plowshares. So all those guns and weapons and tanks are going to become farming equipment. Praise God.
Amen.
So, during that time, there won't be any terrorist attacks. And if you do commit a crime, it ain't going to be all this litigation and couple of years of trying to find evidence against you and all that stuff. You commit a crime, you dead. Praise God.
Amen.
Right away. We ain't going to have to feed you, take our tax dollars and feed you for years and years, and let you watch cable TV and have internet and all that other stuff after you done killed 7 or 8 people. No, it ain't gonna be none of that. See, during the millennial reign of Christ, justice will be done immediately, praise God. But life will be wonderful. You will live in bliss, you'll have purpose, you'll have dreams, will be able to be fulfilled during that time, praise God. And those of us who already know Jesus right now, will be in our new bodies, and we will reign. Jesus will give some of us rule over certain cities, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
See, this is another reason why you need to, you can't be living a nominal Christian life. Because you, if all you want to do is just make it in, then during the millennial reign, you ain't gonna have nothing. Praise God. Mm-hmm. You'll make it in, but you ain't gonna be able to do nothing much. Now me, I want to be ruler over a few cities. Praise God. So I'm trying to keep myself straightened out and obedient to Jesus Christ. Stay in love with Him and continue to walk with Him. Praise Jesus. Mm-hmm. Because during the millennial reign, there's gonna be some serious blessings for those of us who know Jesus. We're gonna reign with Him for that whole 1,000 years. Hallelujah. So you ain't gotta worry about all these elections and stuff like that during the millennial reign, because Jesus will be king. And he will have us elected over what cities and nations he wants us to be elected over. Praise God.
Amen.
No more those mayoral elections where you get these corrupt politicians. Now it's gonna be us saints ruling in these places. Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. I tell you, I'm looking forward to that time.
Amen.
No more corrupt politicians. No more corruptness in government. All that's right now is of Satan. Satan's the one controlling that mess. Satan's the one who got these politicians in office that make all these lying promises, and then when they get in, all they're doing is trying to get money from people. Taking bribes and stuff like that. Just corrupting themselves. So thank God that when the millennial reign comes, Jesus will show you that everything that's been happening before he started had nothing to do with God. Because when Satan is bound for 1,000 years, he can't spread his reign of evil. Praise Jesus.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Now, let's look at a couple of scriptures on this. In Isaiah chapter 11, excuse me. Isaiah chapter 11, and it says, "And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Praise God.
Amen.
So the world will be full of God, of the knowledge of God's character. They will understand who God is, and they will understand that God is love. See, you know what's the reason why the world's in a mess right now? Because it's not full of the knowledge of God. The world is simply not full of the knowledge of God. If people truly knew the truth about God, then we wouldn't have the mess going on that we have right now. We wouldn't have people killing each other. We wouldn't have guys going out raping women. You know, I think it was Sweden, they have an epidemic of Muslim men raping women. And this is their God. The Islam, their God teaches them the rape, to go around and rape women. See, the world is not full of the knowledge of the true God. And then somebody goes out, some knucklehead, sits up there and says, "Well, Christians and Muslims worship the same God." No, we do not. We do not worship the same God. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
Don't worry, I won't let the Muslims hurt you. Amen. We do not worship the same God. The world is not full of the knowledge of the true God, and that's why you have so much terrorism and criminal activity. See, Christians don't go around imprisoning Muslims, at least in those who know Jesus, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about people who claim to be Christians but going around killing people. Those who truly are walking with the Lord and have the knowledge of God don't go around persecuting people from other religions. We don't go around persecuting Hindus. Hindus like to persecute Christians, though. We don't go around persecuting Muslims. Muslims like to persecute Christians, though. We don't go around persecuting Buddhists and others. We try to win them through love. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But you know, the problem with a lot of Muslims is they'll take our charity, they'll take our love and take advantage of it, and they'll still try to destroy us in the long run. Not understanding that what we're trying to do is show them the true God, show them Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But see, it's when the world gets full of the knowledge of God's character. That's when nothing will any longer destroy or hurt in God's holy mountain. Glory to God.
Amen.
As in Isaiah chapter 65, verse 25, it says, makes a similar statement. It says, "The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain." Glory to God.
Amen.
So the problem that we have is that when man sinned, he plunged the world into death and darkness. And that, see, the animals were never meant to be violent. They were, it was never meant to, lions were never meant to attack gazelles and eat them. I mean, I don't know how many of y'all have watched this stuff on television, or, you know, some of y'all, whatever parts of Africa you may be from, you know, if you're not from a civilized part of Africa, you might be, you might have seen some of that stuff. Amen. I think most of y'all from civilized parts of Africa, but, you know, I've seen the stuff on television where lions go and attack these gazelles and stuff like that. It's ugly. It's nasty. When you see the violence that's in the animal kingdom, that was never part of God's plan. Do you notice in the beginning, God brought all the animals to Adam, and Adam was never afraid of them. He deigned them. He had dominion over them. It was when man, see, every, we don't understand that what we do affects this world, praise God. We have more power over this world than we realize. See, because every time we, every inch that we give to Satan, he takes it. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
See, God gave us the dominion over the world, and when we decided to side with Satan, he became our master, and therefore he became the ruler and controller of this world. So the Bible tells us that Adam brought in sin. Sin came because death came into the world because Adam sinned. Praise God. And so God has tried to redeem the whole situation by sending Jesus here. And we're gonna talk about it today, because I'm about to let you go in a little bit. The second thing in this issue about Satan being a destroyer, I want to show you the pattern that Satan has used in his attempts to destroy Jesus. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
So, you should see this in order to understand that none of this is God's plan. God is actually at war with the enemy. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
And the enemy is at war with God. See, when God gave the first prophecy in the Garden of Eden, he told them after Adam and Eve had messed up, he spoke to the serpent. He said that he was going to send someone, and that someone was going to crush his head. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Satan has been, he was running scared ever since, and if you read your Bible, the whole Bible is a history of Satan, God and Satan at war with each other. Satan isn't always mentioned in every part of the Bible, but a lot of the things you find in the Bible, Satan was very much behind what was going on, praise God. He was the one who kept, God chose a nation that would represent him and whom the Messiah would come through, and Satan began to influence the nation to commit idolatry, trying to mess them up, amen. Oh, if you really, boy, when I get a chance, hopefully next week I can show you some of these things. You will see, you will begin to understand your Bible, and you will begin to see the warfare and God and the sacrifices that God has been making even before Jesus Christ came. You'll begin to understand why he chose Israel in the first place. Why he chose one particular nation by whom he could try to reach the rest of the world. Why he chose Abraham. Why he chose Noah. Why he had to reject Saul and he chose David instead, praise God. God was trying to find a nation and a vessel by whom he can send Jesus through in order to redeem you and I from Satan's power over us. Glory to God.
Amen.
And when Jesus finally came and Satan discovered who Jesus was, Satan did everything he could to try to destroy him. Praise God. Oh, I'm going to show you more of that next week. Won't you stand to your feet right now and get ready to go home? Did you learn anything today?
Yes.
I know some of this is a repeat of what we talked about before, but sometimes repetition is a good part of teaching. So hopefully you fully understand that God is not your problem. Say this with me. Say, God is not my problem.
It's not my problem.
Satan is my problem.
It's my problem.
But he's defeated.
He's defeated.
Praise God. But you got to understand, in order to be able to walk in the victory that Jesus has given you, you've got to understand that Satan is the one who's causing you the problems in the first place. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
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 Close, bow your head and close your eyes. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for giving us revelation, giving us understanding of this truth. Lord, help us in our walk, in walking with you, and walking in the victory that you've given us. Father God, help us when things happen to us, not to get upset with you, as has been our pattern, has been our fallen fleshless pattern, has been the lies that's been told to us, even over the pulpit, that you're the one behind these things. But Lord, help us to recognize who the destroyer is, and to begin to confront him with your name, with your blood, and with your miracle-working power in Jesus' name. Father God, now as your people leave this place, Lord, Father, bless them as they go on their way. Father, help them, Lord, as they travel through these dangerous streets with ice and snow, and keep them and keep their cars, Father, and keep your angels and give your angels charge over them in the name of Jesus.